Rico's hospitals are in critical condition after Hurricane Maria. Medical centers are flooded, strewn with rubble, and dependent on diesel generators to keep patients alive. Fuel is so precious that deliveries are made by armed guards to deter looters. Communications are down, and hospitals cannot reach patients' families or coordinate evacuations. The situation in the hospitals adding to the misery and devastation of the U.S. territory. Its 3.4 million residents are American citizens, and they're wondering when help will arrive.
This isn't about the president being against anyone, but this is about the president and millions of Americans being for something, being for honoring our flag, honoring our national anthem, and honoring the men and women who fought to defend it. I think that it's always appropriate for the President of the United States to defend our flag, to defend the national anthem, and to defend the men and women who fought and died to defend it.
You kind of got to realize that the Chinese government is very serious about blocking these types of messaging services. And as you rightfully said, WhatsApp was the last of the Facebook apps or services that were still available in China. Now it seems as though it is no longer available. And yes, it is another step. Instagram, of course, Google, various services blocked, Facebook, a number of them no longer working in China.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Tuesday. It's September 26, 2017. Glad you're here for another business day and another edition of The Opening Bell at 510. We have a big show for you coming up a little bit later in the program. Gabriel Weiner is going to be here. He's the founder of Fluent Forever. This is an app that's at least a proposed app that's taking Kickstarter by storm. And we will talk to him about where it's at on Kickstarter now and just what he's thinking with this app. That's coming up a little bit later in the program. In a minute, we'll be joined by Lisa Shanker of the Chicago Tribune talking a little bit about Obamacare and some of the rates that have been proposed. But first, on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, Asian stocks are little changed as investors watch U.S.-North Korea tensions after a decline in tech shares yesterday dragged down Wall Street. On the board today in Asia, most of the indices are higher now. The Nikkei is going to finish about 101 points higher. The Hang Seng is up just a fraction, so is the Shanghai in Europe. Markets are generally higher as well, with the CAC up just a fraction. And the DAX up about a quarter of a point. The FTSE in London is off this morning. Futures, that is down, not off duty. And in this country, mixed futures. Looks like a mixed start on Wall Street later this morning. Dow futures up about 6. NASDAQ futures up about 10. S&P futures are lower. Crude oil is trading lower this morning at $51.97 a barrel, down about a quarter. That is a 25 cents off about a half a percent. Some stories that we're watching for you this morning. One of the big stories involves, obviously, Puerto Rico. The governor of Puerto Rico saying that his country is really in a desperate situation. White House yesterday saying that more help is on the way. But it sounds like the governor would like to see that yesterday, not tomorrow. Also, a new poll by the Roper Organization. This sort of took me by surprise when I saw it yesterday. 47% of Americans surveyed by this study, Roper, don't think that Puerto Rican people are American citizens. That seems like a very high number, but help, according to the White House, on the way. But people on the ground there in Puerto Rico say a very desperate situation after the Hurricane Maria came through. Chicago-based Boeing scored one with a sale to Qatar Airways. One of the Middle East's biggest carriers has announced it has ordered 6 new Boeing aircraft in a deal valued at nearly $2.2 billion. Qatar's national carrier says the purchases represent the airline's continued growth. Analysts, however, estimate the political standoff between Qatar and four Arab states will cost the airline heavily this year. Still, it is moving forward with the acquisition of a number of 747-8 freighters and 777-300ERs. Again, $2.2 billion for Boeing. Republican Senator Susan Collins' decision to oppose the GOP push to repeal President Obama's health care overhaul leaves the effort all but dead. Even party leaders concede that their prospects are dismal. South Dakota Senator John Thune, the number three GOP Senate leader, says reviving the push now would be a heavy lift. GOP Senators John McCain of Arizona, Rand Paul of Kentucky, and Ted Cruz of Texas are also against the legislation. At least they say they are. Alaska's Lisa Murkowski, a Republican, remains undecided. Here in Illinois, some big increases on the way for the Obamacare law. And for those of you who have the Affordable Care Act, thought we'd talk a little bit about that this morning with Lisa Shanker. She's a Chicago Tribune healthcare business reporter. Lisa, good morning. Welcome to the opening bell.
Thank you.
Let me ask you this. Let's start from the beginning. What is it that, what are the increases this year in Obamacare in Illinois?
Sure. So for people who buy insurance, health insurance on the Affordable Care Act exchange, it looks like rates may be going up, average rates may be going up by 16% to 37% next year for the lowest priced plans.
And how is that, how does that relate to the year before?
It generally, like the Department of Insurance is saying that those are actually somewhat smaller increases than the year before, but I think a lot of people are still upset by it, obviously, because no one wants to see increases every year, especially double-digit increases.
What did the figures tell you about the state of the of Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act in Illinois?
Well, I think there's a lot of debate about that. I think each side has a different view of what these numbers mean about how well the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare is working. The people who oppose the Affordable Care Act say this has been a problem for years. Rates have always been going up, choice has always been going down, and this is proof that the law isn't working. Whereas people who support the Affordable Care Act are saying it's really this year the problem is mainly the uncertainty around the Affordable Care Act. The Trump administration has threatened to do away with federal subsidies that are now given to insurers. And a lot of insurers, including in Illinois, have responded by building that uncertainty into their rates for next year by increasing their rates, partly because they don't know if they're going to continue to get that money from the federal government.
And some of the insurance companies that are involved in this have said that specifically, haven't they? They've said that the uncertainty is part of what's happening here.
Yeah, in Illinois included, a number of the big insurers on the exchange here have said that part of the reason for their proposed increases is this uncertainty over whether they're going to continue to get these subsidies and uncertainty over whether the individual mandate, which is the part of the law that requires everyone to have health insurance or pay a fine, whether that's going to continue to be enforced or not under the Trump administration.
Lisa, hang on with us. We're going to continue with Lisa Shanker of the Chicago Tribune. She's the healthcare business reporter there. We'll talk more about Obamacare and what some of the people she's talked to are saying about these increases and Obamacare in general.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now, losses for technology stocks overshadowed gains in other areas to send the indexes lower on Monday. The tech-heavy NASDAQ fell 56 points to 6370. The Dow Jones lost 53 points, closing at 22,296. The S&P 500 was 5.5 points lower. ExxonMobil plans to reduce emissions of methane from its natural gas drilling operations. The company also plans to use planes, satellites, and drones mounted with optical gas imaging cameras to hunt for leaks of the potential greenhouse gas. Volvo is adding 1,900 jobs to its Charleston, South Carolina plant, which is still under construction. Eventually, the company expects to build 150,000 XC90 sport utility vehicles every year at that factory, Volvo's first in the United States. And coffee in California could soon come with a health warning. A lawsuit claims that Starbucks has violated a state law that requires the company to warn customers about a chemical created in the roasting process that could cause cancer. Jim Rong, NBC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. We're on with Lisa Shanker this morning of the Chicago Tribune. She covers healthcare business for the newspaper, and we were talking about Obamacare, some double-digit increases on the way for customers of the Affordable Care Act here in Illinois. Lisa, I'm curious, based on your reporting, I mean, it looks like we have a pretty healthy insurance market, at least for Obamacare participants. Is that what you've found as well?
Right. It looks like competition in some ways on the exchange is going down next year. The number of counties in Illinois where multiple insurers were offering plans is down. I believe there's going to be 13 counties in Illinois next year where there's only one insurer offering coverage. But in those counties, even when there's one insurer, that insurer may be offering multiple plans. And compared with other states, there have been other states where they've had issues where they didn't know if there would be counties with no insurers. And so some people actually look at Illinois and say, well, it's never been a question here that every county is going to have at least one insurer. So that already puts us ahead of other states.
A couple of the big insurers, Cigna and Blue Cross Blue Shield, I think Blue Cross Blue Shield, their increase is 38%. Cigna is up there like at 37%. But then you kind of see some of the other plans are a little less than that or a lot less than that. Why are Cigna and Blue Cross Blue Shield so high?
Each insurer has its own reasonings for this. And they had to file documents with the state saying why they in particular were so high. Some plans cited increasing medical costs, and they serve different populations in different parts of the state. And each insurer has its own reasons for their specific calculations that they arrived at through pretty complex calculations.
What has the Illinois Department of Insurance said about all of this?
The new head of the Illinois Department of Insurance, Jennifer Hammer, said in a statement or in a news release when these rates were released late last week that there are just structural problems with the Affordable Care Act, and that is part of the reason for these increases. Although she also pointed out that, like we were talking about earlier, unlike in some other states, we have coverage at least in every county in the state.
One of the other things, I guess, that's going on these days is everybody's watching Washington to see what they're going to do with this latest bill that they have going. But you mentioned they're fixing the Affordable Care Act. What are some of the solutions that some of the industry folks or others have offered for fixing this?
I think a lot of the people in the healthcare industry, especially providers, they want to see kind of bipartisan solutions to this. There's been a lot of opposition to this latest bill that's out there right now from provider groups, insurers. They feel like this would take away coverage from a lot of people. I think a lot of people want to see Congress build on the Affordable Care Act and fix some of the issues there. But there's a lot of opposition to this bill right now.
So on the Affordable Care Act specifically, they talk about the structural flaws in it. How have they suggested fixing that bill?
This Graham-Cassidy bill?
No, the Affordable Care Act. I mean, everybody, the insurance industry, others seem to think that it has structural flaws. Have they offered any solutions for how, if the Congress decides to go bipartisan, how it could be fixed?
I think there's been a lot of talk over the last, year almost about all of this. There's been a lot of different things offered depending on who's on what side. I think that's a great question. How does Congress fix this? I mean, I think that's part of the reason that it's been so difficult for them to pass a bill, because it's so complicated. It touches every part of the healthcare system, and there doesn't seem to be any, real easy solution here. There was a bipartisan bill in Congress that was being worked on, but that seems to have come to a halt.
Yeah. I know in your story, you've talked to people that have Obamacare. What are they saying? What are they telling you?
I think a lot of the people I've talked to say that they're not happy about these increases. Obviously, they don't want to pay more. But a lot of people feel like they're still better off than they were before Obamacare was passed. They feel like at least they can get insurance now. They don't have to worry about pre-existing conditions blocking them from getting insurance. So I think there's mixed feelings there.
Would you also describe their feelings just generally with all of the discussions we're having about health insurance as being sort of tense and on edge?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of uncertainty about what's going to be available and going forward, how people are going to get their coverage depending on what does or does not pass Congress, not just on the exchange, but especially within Medicaid. I mean, that's really where we might see the biggest effects of any sort of Obamacare repeal or replace would be the many people who are covered through Medicaid expansion.
Your story also reports that some of these figures have been preliminary. There's a possibility they could change?
Well, in a few days, the insurers, I believe they have to commit. In a few days, they have to sign off on this stuff. And technically, the approval comes from the federal government on this. At this point, though, it looks like these rates are the likely rates. This is probably what we're going to see next year.
New year is coming up for Obamacare. Some have said that the Trump administration is trying to sabotage it that way as well, with trying to dissuade people from signing up, or at least not publicizing it. How do you get a sense of how Illinois is going to try to combat that?
Well, I think there is a lot of fear about that as well. I mean, they're cutting back efforts to reach out to people and the federal government is cutting back on efforts to reach out to people and advertise open enrollment. There's been press in the last few days about how there's going to be some sort of maintenance and the site's going to be down on several Sundays during open enrollment. And open enrollment is going to be shorter this year. It's only going to be 6 weeks. It's going to be less time for people to go shopping. And I think advocates of the Affordable Care Act see all this as kind of sabotaging the Affordable Care Act. President Trump has said in the past, you know, let's just let the law implode. And I think a lot of people are worried that that's exactly what's happening.
You know, the open enrollment is going to be November 1st through December 15th, by the way. Lisa, we appreciate you taking time out for us here on The Opening Bell.
Thank you.
Lisa Schenker is a Chicago Tribune healthcare business reporter. You can follow her on Twitter at L Schenker, and of course, read all of her material at chicagotribune.com.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the program. It's 5:41 here on our Wednesday edition of the program. There is a new app that's out in the works called Fluent Forever, and it is becoming Kickstarter's most successful app campaign in history. It could actually help you learn a new language and maybe even give you a leg up in the business world. We're happy to have its author and founder with us this morning, Gabriel Weiner. Welcome to The Opening Bell. Gabriel, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Congratulations, too, by the way. I understand was it yesterday that this became now the most successful app campaign on Kickstarter?
It did. Yeah, that was yesterday morning.
What does that look like in terms of numbers, and how is that helping you get to your goal?
That it passed the threshold of $332,000 raised. At this point, that sort of helps from a PR standpoint,
right?
Because it's a new record. I think in terms of goals and things, like, our original goal was $250,000 raised, but there's a lot of goals here. I mean, the next goal we're sort of hitting is $400,000 to add English support, so that people can actually learn English using the app. The next few goals are all about languages. So we're adding four more languages at the next one. Then we're adding Mandarin and Japanese at the next one after that. And then we're kind of adding global language support to pretty much everything. That's sort of our big, big target at this point.
So give us a sense of how this works, how the app will work.
So the Fluent Forever method is, like, I wrote a book back in 2014 on this thing. The idea is that you're learning a language without translating it. A lot of the apps out there are sort of teaching you translations. And one of the tricky parts about learning translations is that you're not really learning the thing that you're going to be doing. Like, you're learning this extra skill of being able to kind of decode a language, but you're not learning the ability to actually think in that target language. And so the method that I talked about in my book back, like, 3 years ago has been, you know, how do you form associations with the language that you're actually learning? How do you, if you want to think of the word chien in French, which is dog, like, how do you associate that word with images of dogs? How do you associate that word with, you know, the French word for cat, chat? How do you make those connections that you have in the English word and you don't yet have in the French word? And so this app basically is like it's a flashcard tool, sort of a sophisticated one, but basically a flashcard tool. That helps you create associations between images and your word, and then other French words and your French word.
The backstory on this too, you mentioned the book. You've been doing this for quite a while, and speak to this with a lot of experience, because how many languages do you know? And you used this process for that, didn't you?
I did, yeah. At this point, I speak 8 languages, and a lot of them have been sort of test cases for this method of more and more, like revisions of this method. I mean, I started this thing with French in 2010, yeah. Learned French in 5 months with this thing, was like shocked by this experience. So like, holy heck, I can speak this language. then repeated it with Russian after starting to write about it online and getting a lot of attention for this thing. Learned Russian in 10 months with this thing. And then at that point I had a book contract and could spend 2 years like focusing on just, you know, why does this method work? What's the science behind this thing? And does the science show me that I can make changes? And I found that it did. There were some things in the research that showed up that explained why I was getting such results and gave suggestions of how to change it. And so I did another test case with Hungarian, made those changes and found that they were actually effective. And at this point, I've reused it for Spanish and reused it for Japanese. And now there have been a lot of other people who've now been using this thing because of the book, where it's kind of this now much bigger test case of seeing, you know, hundreds and thousands of people who are using this thing and now getting back, you know, 3 years later, emails from people saying like, hey, I'm speaking 3 languages. I'm speaking 2 languages. You know, this is working for me. And getting to bounce back and forth with these readers has made it so I can keep refining this thing more and more.
Yeah, having to learn a language was important for you because you were an opera singer. And you had to know that. I mean, the same thing could be translated to folks who are in situations where they need to learn a language because they're being transferred in business, or they need to maybe woo a foreign client. I mean, there are all kinds of different reasons why we need to speak more languages.
Absolutely. I think it's becoming more and more important in sort of the modern marketplace than it has in years. Like, the globalization is becoming this huge, huge thing, which I think is good.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, because, I mean, you talked about the science there. I mean, it seems like I've always heard experts say that, you know, once you get to a certain age, it's hard to learn another language, certainly not multiple languages. And also, some people just don't have the brain for that. Does this system seem to defeat that then?
That actually ends up being something of a myth. It's sort of like an optical illusion almost. Many of us have had this experience. We spend a bunch of time in French classes. We go to France, and then there's this 5-year-old kid who's way better than us. And we're like, this isn't fair. Like, they haven't worked, we worked, and yet they speak better French. But there's this kind of time illusion here that you've had like 150 hours of French, and that kid has had 15,000 hours of French. And that's why they're speaking better French than you. And as soon as you actually correct for it, and they've made studies of this where you have like an adult who moves to Spain gets 500 hours of exposure. A kid who gets transplanted to Spain gets 500 hours of exposure. The adult is actually better than the kid every time, because the adults are smarter. They have better like study capabilities. The thing that kids really have is that sort of luxury of time. When you're an adult and you're just studying a couple hours a week, or maybe even like 6 hours a week, like, that's not most of your time. That's only a tiny fraction of your time. And so you tend to forget from week to week. And so the big obstacle with language learning isn't actually the language part. We're actually really good at it. We're better than the kids at the language learning part. We're worse at the kids in terms of getting exposed so slowly that we forget most of what we've learned. And so if you can kind of conquer the memory problem with languages, which is kind of how my whole thing is built, is how do you deal with the memory part? How do you keep things that from week to week to week? Then this thing becomes really, really achievable.
If people are like me, when I visited the Kickstarter page and you have a video on there that sort of is an introductory video, I was blown away by you went through the languages just completely seamlessly. So if it works that well, sign me up. Gabriel, let me ask you this. What's next for the Kickstarter campaign?
I mean, we're 6 days in. I guess today is the beginning of the 7th day. We have, you know, a good 23 days left of fundraising. And so we're currently projected to get probably over $1 million. And that means we get to do a lot of really awesome things. Aside from supporting all of these languages, we're probably going to be starting to add a tablet app, potentially even a desktop application. This is going to start forming a whole little language learning ecosystem. And so the next steps after this are seeing, you know, how far we go, figuring out the scope of this project, and then building this thing. We have probably the best app design firm in Silicon Valley that is lined up for this, assuming that we get funded, you know, to the higher degree of this thing, past like 700,000 or 800,000, we're definitely hiring this firm. They're the ones that come in when Twitter and Google and Intel have problems and their own engineers can't handle it. I've worked with them. They built the demo. And basically, I pull them on board, and they kill this thing. I mean, they based on working with this thing, they do amazing work. And so I pull them on board. I throw a big check at them, and then we start having meetings twice a week where they make huge strides in a week, and I direct it.
And the estimated delivery is still August of next year.
Yeah, and that's padded. I mean, I'm hoping to actually do it earlier than that. But I think I'm aiming to realistically have a Spanish beta test out for the Kickstarter users sometime around February, maybe March, and then run a 2-month beta test and then have a final version like by, I guess, May. And then we'll be adding other languages on top of that in short order to the final version.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah, very exciting. Gabriel, congratulations again, and we appreciate you getting up and being with us this morning here in the opening bell.
Absolutely. In terms of addresses and stuff, to find that thing, basically if anyone Googles like Fluent Forever app Kickstarter, they'll find it, but the usual address we've been recommending is kickstarter.fluent-forever.com.
And we will link out all of that from our Twitter page and our website this morning from the opening bell. Gabriel Weiner, congratulations again. And he's the founder and author of Fluent Forever.
You're listening to the opening bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning. Futures pointing toward a mixed open on Wall Street later on this morning, with the Dow futures up just 5. NASDAQ and S&P futures are lower. NASDAQ futures lower by about 31 points. Now, commodities and agriculture. Good morning, Oregon Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. Our first check today is the weekly harvest progress report from USDA issued yesterday afternoon. 13% of the corn crop harvested, 60% good to excellent. Soybean harvest, 12% complete nationally. Good to excellent rating in soybeans, 59%. Now, let's look at the market. That Friday, when the cattle on feed report came out, traders said it's bearish. Well, was it ever? Cattle on feed report sent the most active December live cattle contract down the $3 limit at the opening today, and it stayed locked down throughout the day. That means that today we're going to see a $4.50 daily trading limit on live cattle. And as far as the soybean crop, combines rolling over the heart of the Midwest, and wheat futures turned higher while soybean futures fell about 1 1/3. Corn was little changed in the trade yesterday, but it'll be interesting to see what, if any, kind of a bounce back we get on cattle trade today after the limit down move yesterday. Well, this evening, the Lake County Farm Bureau gathers at the Marriott Lincolnshire for its annual meeting. They've invited me to speak on their program tonight. Looking forward to seeing a lot of Lake County Farm Bureau friends at that event tonight. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
You too, Orion. On now the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for this Tuesday, September 26th. As September draws to a close, a couple of reports due out today on the health of the economy. Standard & Poor's will put out the S&P Case-Shiller Index of Home Prices. The Commerce Department releases new home sales figures for August, and the Conference Board will release the Consumer Confidence Index for September. Conference Board said in late August that consumers' assessment of current economic conditions had reached the highest level in the month of August since July 2001. The Business Research Group's overall Consumer Confidence Index, which takes into account Americans' view of current conditions and their expectations for the next 6 months, rose to 122.9 in August, from 120 in July. It'll be interesting to see what it is for the next month as well. Just some of the things that could move the markets on this Tuesday, September 26th.